Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Monday. It's December 29th, 2014. For the next few days, that'll be our opening theme music. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. The Lord has come. The Lord will return. And it's that celebratory time of year where we can actually slow down a little, maybe drink in the Christmas memories. And here at Great News Radio, we'll continue to air Christmas music through the end of the year. And oftentimes I've had feedback from people that their schedules did slow down a little bit and they got to enjoy the Christmas music, and they appreciate that we extend it through December 31st at midnight. Well, also during Mark and Friends, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, I'll be sharing with you The Lesser Characters of Christmas, a Moody presentation that includes some drama, some on-site explanations from Nazareth and Bethlehem, locations in the Holy Land. I'm going to break it into three different segments. In its entirety, it's about 55 minutes, so hopefully over the next few days you can tune in. And these programs will be archived at greatnewsradio.org, so you can listen anytime or maybe pick up one of the editions that you miss. I hope your Christmas celebration and weekend festivities were filled with times of joy and peace and love and happiness. I know what oftentimes happens is there's the big letdown after you've pushed all week or all month long, and then you get sick, as was the case in our family. We're still working through some of those higher temperatures, coughing, flu-like symptoms, but thank you God for medicines and rest. And I would pray as you gear up for this new year, slowing down will be one of those resolutions that you'll try to keep. I know that'll be one of mine. All right. On this, the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, we'll play the first installment of The Lesser Characters of Christmas, a Moody special.
Mary.
Joseph.
The baby Jesus.
King Herod the Great.
We've heard their stories since childhood. But what about the lesser characters of Christmas?
How do their cameo appearances affect us today, thousands of years later? It's a question we now explore in The Lesser Characters of Christmas.
Consider the life and legacy of Zechariah, a simple priest with a nagging hurt.
Zechariah,
it's the custom.
The lot was cast, and you have been chosen. You, of course, have observed the rites of purification.
I could not stand here had I not.
Then you must go in and burn the incense.
Pray the favor of the Holy One would rest upon me.
We always do.
May his favor rest on me.
What's that? You? Over at the side of the altar, who's there?
Don't be afraid, Zechariah.
Who are you? Who's speaking?
God has heard your prayers.
An angel of the Lord.
Your wife Elizabeth will have a son, and you must name him John. His birth will make you very happy, and many people will be glad.
There's a mistake here,
Your son will be a great servant of the Lord. The power of the Holy Spirit will be with him from the time he is born.
But a son at my age? Surely you mean someone else.
John will lead many people in Israel to turn back to the Lord their God. He will go ahead of the Lord with the same power and spirit that Elijah had.
How will I know that is going to happen? My wife and I are both very old, and she is barren.
I am Gabriel, God's servant, and I was sent to tell you this good news. As you have not believed what I have said, so you will not be able to utter a word until all this happens. This is your sign. This will indeed occur.
Look! It's Zachariah, finally! See?
There he is now. He looks... He's raised.
Only it's not Zachariah. He's different. Look at his face. What happened? Why were you so long in the temple? We were worried out here.
You had us all worried, Zachariah. Zachariah? Speak to us.
What they do to him?
He cannot speak. Look at him. It's written on his face. I've seen a vision.
Zachariah saw more than a vision. He encountered the angel, Gabriel, himself. But just who was Zachariah? And what can we learn from him and his wife, Elizabeth? Dr. Charlie Dyer serves as professor at large of Bible for the Moody Bible Institute.
We're at the Church of St. John the Baptist in Ankarim. Now, tradition says Ankarim is the hometown of Zacharias and Elizabeth. The Bible doesn't tell us that, but it makes good sense. It does tell us that they lived in the hill country of Judah. We're in the hill country of Judah. We're told that he was a priest, and indeed, modern Ankarim is inside the municipality of Jerusalem today. But in the New Testament times, this would have been a several-hour walk to go from here to Jerusalem. Close enough that the priest could minister there, but far enough away that indeed it was a small village.
So what kind of town or neighborhood did Zachariah and his wife call home?
As we go through Ankarim today, it's beautiful. There's almost an artist colony. Certainly the largest hospital in the Jerusalem area, Hadassah Hospital, is located here. And of course then there are these massive churches with golden domes or tall spires. It's a large town today. But in the New Testament times, this would have been a small little village. Again, out of the way, windy road down from Jerusalem to the hill country, a smattering of houses. You know, we don't know the exact size, but if it had several hundred people, that would be a large village at the time.
But just who was Zachariah? Roy Schwartz is a pastor who serves with Chosen People Ministries. He takes us to the biblical account of Luke 1.
In those days, Zacharias of the division of Abijah had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So both he and his wife were priestly descent. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. In other words, they were faithful people. Both he and his wife walked faithfully with the Lord.
Part of that walk included service in the temple, as we learn from Dr. Michael Van Lanningham, professor of Bible at Chicago's Moody Bible Institute.
Twice a year, for a week each year, there were 24 different companies of priests that would leave their typical jobs in their homes. They would go up to Jerusalem. They would minister in the temple. And it was his opportunity to go up there. And he happened to be selected to actually go in and offer the morning sacrifice.
But once inside the temple's holy place, exactly what did Zachariah do? Again, Roy Schwartz.
There he changed the oil, added oil to the menorah. It was there that he would add bread to the table of showbread and ministered to the Lord in the holy place. So he was a man appointed by God, chosen by God in the sovereignty of God to be in the temple at just the right moment.
There were about 1,000 priests in each of the 24 different companies of priests. And so a person could go and minister as a priest his entire life and never have the opportunity to do this. But Zechariah gets that opportunity. And so that in itself would have been a real thrill for him. But then you add to that the appearance of the supernatural being here, the angel, that would have completely struck terror in his heart. And so no wonder it says that he's troubled. He's frightened when he sees this angel.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a certain amount of, probably a great amount of fear. He was in the presence of the Lord.
So what are we to make of a humble, faithful servant of God who holds out against all hope for a child. Yet, when he gets good news from an angel, he actually doubts the Lord.
You know, he's in good company. You think about Abraham, you think about Isaac, you think about Jacob. They were godly men, loved God, and yet, you know, he hears an angel coming to him and telling him he's going to have a baby. Come on! My wife is well beyond having a baby. He's in good company.
The news was impossibly good. The pain of their childlessness to be removed?
It was a real stigma to be a Jewish person and to not have children, because part of the responsibility of Jewish people were to have children. They were to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. And that included Israel, and to not have children was seen as a real tragedy. And so theirs was a hard situation.
And probably Elizabeth had given up all hope of being a mother. And when it was the darkest hour, because of their faithfulness, because of their love, like Sarah, like Rebecca, when all hope was gone, God blessed them with a child.
And sure enough, God blessed them against all human anticipation, against any sort of human hope. And I think that's an important lesson for us to learn that we see from Zechariah and from Elizabeth, is that you always hang on to the Lord in spite of the disappointments that you have. God becomes our best friend in those situations.
A childless couple, well past childbearing, but not past belief, or prayer, or hope itself. It's a lovely story, but only part of the story.
Mary also received a visit from the angel Gabriel, and his message that she would become pregnant by the Holy Spirit and bear the Son of God prompted a hurried visit to the home of Elizabeth, her cousin.
Mary! Mary! Is it you?
Elizabeth! Oh, Elizabeth!
Mary! How is it you've come all the way from Nazareth by yourself?
I was told about your pregnancy.
Told?
Yeah.
By whom? We've kept this thing a secret.
Oh, we have so much to talk about. Oh, but Elizabeth, oh, I can hardly believe it's you.
And more Elizabeth than I've ever been, child. Look at my stomach.
I know. Has it been difficult these 6 months carrying this miracle child of yours?
6 months? How is it you know the exact time as well?
Call it another miracle.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
Yes.
Me, an old woman, pregnant. Who could believe it?
Actually, I could. Right now, I could easily believe that. And much more.
But why are you crying, Mary? What else brings you here?
It was nearly 2 weeks ago now. Hmm. I had a visit. Hmm. You might not believe.
Oh, try me, Mary. We had a visit of our own, so go on.
The messenger said, "Fear not." He told me that I had found favor with God, and that I'm going to have a baby.
A baby? But, Mary, I mean...
I know. I said to the messenger, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" He said, "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you. You shall name the baby Jesus. He will be called the Son of God." And then he told me about you, that you were in your 6th month.
So that's how you knew.
Still hear some of the messenger's last words. He said, "With God, nothing is impossible."
Oh, Mary, this is a wonderful thing. Think of it. You have been chosen by God for this special honor.
But Elizabeth, it feels more like shame than honor. Soon everyone will know. I won't be able to hide this. They'll assume, "Oh, Elizabeth, Joseph. Joseph, my betrothed. How do I explain this to him? No one will understand. Such shame will be brought upon us all.
No, no, Mary. This is God's plan. Mary, you're forgetting the messenger's last words. With God, nothing is impossible. Let our hearts rest on him.
In the telling of the Christmas story, some of the important details are sometimes lost. Details like the enormous distance that Mary traveled after she left Nazareth. Dr. Charlie Dyer.
Nazareth is far to the north. We're talking hours of driving by car, days of walking. And here's Mary just being told that she's pregnant and now going in haste from up in Nazareth, near the Sea of Galilee, all the way down south of Jerusalem. That was quite a trek. Did she travel with friends or family? How did she get here? Who helped her down? We're not told.
What we are told is that even this meeting of the two pregnant women had supernatural elements to it.
We're told as she gets here, Elizabeth has the baby leap in her womb. Both Elizabeth and even the child she was bearing knew that Mary was special because she was carrying the Redeemer. And somewhere, not very far from where we're seated right now, that very event took place.
I wish there would be a camera when Mary met Elizabeth. Really, think about it. In her age, Elizabeth should not be pregnant.
Menno Kalischer is pastor of Jerusalem Assembly House of Redemption.
As Mary comes, she felt the baby jumps inside. Just think about 3-kilo object in your stomach is going everywhere. I mean, we don't think about things like that. She was amazed, and she connected it. Mary just came, and this one inside is shouting, the Redeemer is here, in that sense, you know. She realized something happened.
So how would Mary have perceived her older cousin? Elizabeth Smith, who shares a first name and special kinship with the Elizabeth of the Bible, is Assistant Professor of Educational Ministries at the Moody Bible Institute.
Elizabeth would have been seen as an older believer and who had gone through life's problems and come out on the other side. And when we ourselves are going through something, going to someone who is on the other side of the problem to say, okay, here's my life, what can I learn from you? Then as iron sharpens iron, we as believers can encourage one another. And that's what Mary was looking for. She was looking for that compassionate response of understanding that would give her strength to deal with the life situation that she was in. And Elizabeth was that person that she ran to.
Clearly, in making such a long journey from Nazareth to the outskirts of Jerusalem, Mary was hoping for something from Elizabeth. Time.
Elizabeth immediately embraced Mary into, yes, come into my home. Let us spend time together. She was willing to sacrifice of her resources. And honestly, the best resource we all have is time. And that's what Elizabeth was willing to give to Mary. Let me give you my time. And let's talk about everything that's on your heart. And the great thing is, at the end of that time that Mary and Elizabeth spent together, Mary was able to go back into her world and be the mother of God that we needed her to be. And I'm thinking, without Elizabeth, what kind of a beginning would Mary have had? I don't think is good.
It was such an encouragement for her. Such an encouragement for her. To see that God is working not only through her, to receive the legitimacy. She holds the Messiah inside by the fact that Elizabeth said, oh, you are so blessed. They were expecting the Messiah to come through a virgin birth. So everything, the joy that was between two girls, was a prophecy being fulfilled in front of their eyes and inside their stomach.
For me, I would say Elizabeth gave Mary three things, three gifts, if you want to call that. Number one was the confirmation. Yes, Elizabeth, what the Lord is doing, you know, Elizabeth said to Mary, what God is doing in your life, yes, let me confirm that that is what he's doing. Number two, she encouraged Mary to be comforted in that relationship and what God was doing. And then as a result of Mary meeting with Elizabeth, Mary had the confidence to go back into her world and deal with it. And hopefully it's a great model of how older believers can encourage younger believers, I think.
We don't think about these small items. But these people needed to carry a prophecy in them, sometimes to be mocked, sometimes to be who knows what by those who do not understand or believe, and faithfully and joyfully carry God's job. Wow, I wish we'll have a video of these meetings and situations.
From Moody Radio, you're listening to The Lesser Characters of Christmas. Among those lesser characters are the shepherds we hear about in the Luke account of the birth narrative.
We'll learn about those shepherds and others on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends tomorrow. But first, to honor our contractual agreement with the Moody Broadcasting Network, here's an announcement.
Thanks for joining us for this special presentation of The Lesser Characters of Christmas on Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute. In addition to preparing students for a life of ministry, Moody also provides tools that can help you take the next step in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We provide online and regional classes, conferences, books, and radio programs that can be heard on over 1,500 outlets around the world. We encourage you to support this local station and invite you to become a partner in productions like this by visiting moodyradio.org. Just click on the donate button at the top of the page. Once again, that's moodyradio.org. We're so grateful for the support of listeners just like you who faithfully pray for this ministry. Thanks again for joining us for The Lesser Characters of Christmas.
We appreciate our friends and ministry partners at the Moody Broadcasting Network, and also want to point out we here at Great News Radio are 100% listener supported, so it's your gifts that allow us to broadcast the good news message of Jesus 24 hours a day. No underwriters, no share-a-thons. We never preempt programming to raise funds. It's your generous support. So if you'd like to help us at this year end, write to us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. That's Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. You've been listening to the first installment of The Lesser Characters of Christmas. I'm breaking this 55-minute presentation into three parts, so tomorrow, Tuesday, and on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends, you'll hear it in its entirety as we keep the spirit of Christmas alive, playing Christmas music through the end of the year, and also this holiday feature, as hopefully your schedules are slowing down some and you can really enjoy the meaning of the season, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the story of the lesser characters of Christmas. Now, if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, or you can't tune in during Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. or the re-airing in the evening at 7:32 p.m. Central Time, 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners, as I like to say, this and the other two parts will be archived once broadcast at greatnewsradio.org. That's our website, greatnewsradio.org, and look for the archive programs link. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.